made a joke about Beaker on the way to Tennessee that one time, and I don't know what the joke was, but I remember it was just...
I don't remember.
Freaking hilarious. We were, like, going through, like, I don't know where we were at the time, but we were just driving around, and we start talking about Beaker, and, like, if I was driving, I would have wrecked the car. I would have wrecked it so bad.
Beaker, Smugnut, Shit Chat.
Me, 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 me.
Lots of great times. Back in the good old days when we made movies.
What was it? The Three Jimmies?
Three Jimmies. Yeah, so, back in the good old days when we made movies. It was only, that was last...
You're still making movies, right?
I am still making that movie.
Yeah, you are.
Because no one else will help me with it.
I'll help you.
Shut up,
bro. I don't know what you need. I don't think I can give you what you want.
Actually, little tease for the podcast listeners out there, the short film I've been working on. The color correction, the first draft of the color correction is done, and I want to show it to you.
It is done?
The first draft of the color correction.
And you
want
to show it to me right now?
The whole thing's not done, but I just want to see what your maybe opinion is on the color correction, because I have to get back to him with notes so he
can
fix it.
Bro, that sounds so complicated, color correction.
Oh, sorry, color grading.
Color grading, whatever.
Well, I'm not going to do it. I just want you to, all you have to go is or say is, that looks prettier. Ooh, that looks ugly. That's literally it.
Oh, just like when I go to like the optometrist and they're like, two yes or two no.
Yeah, but
which one's better, one or three?
They don't put a human in front of you and go, are they pretty or ugly? I'm sorry, doc. This has nothing to do with my vision.
Man, if it was only like, you know, the...
But that's a paraplegic, so definitely ugly. I'm only into people with limbs.
That person's missing half a jaw. I think they're ugly.
Pretty or ugly? They just show you a picture of like a World War II veteran with half his face blown
burn
up.
Burn victims.
Imagine
am I pointy or ugly?
Oh my god. Could you? Is that what a burn victim sounds like?
Their mouth was burnt.
Oh my god.
They're missing half their lips. That means they're missing one lip.
Could you imagine they just show you if they showed you just picture? That's a skit right there. It's a skit for the podcast. You go in for your eye checkup. It's like, so which one do you think looks better? Number one or number two? Excuse me, doc. I'm pretty sure you just showed me burn victims.
Or no, it's like, you know, the what was it? What was that blind
date? They just show you.
What's that blind date show where it's like there's a person asking questions to like three individuals they can't see? What was that called?
What?
What was that game show? It's like from the 70s or 60s or something where it's like it's a dating game or something where they have like three contestants that are like all guys.
Behind a curtain or whatever.
Behind a curtain or something. The crowd can see them. And the lady's got to ask him questions like, bachelor number one.
Yeah.
What's your... It's like, they're all just like, bachelor number one, bachelor number two, bachelor number three.
The burn victim.
The burn victim.
Why would they talk to
them? I don't think I want to date bachelor number three. Well, you haven't seen him. You've got to give him a chance. I'm pretty sure.
No, they just show, instead of burn, you go in for your eye checkup. Okay, we're going to show you two slides. Just tell me which one looks better to you, number one or number two. And they just show you like, they just show you like pictures, it's like national tragedies. Like number one, plane bombing into a tower in 9/11. Number two, JFK.
Why did we both just do that? We both just immediately went to JFK.
I'm willing to go to some dark places on this podcast, but what else am I supposed to say? I'm not going to go as dark as say like school shooting, because that's awful. That's horrific.
Hey, listen.
Oh,
God. It's all awful.
Oh, it's all bad.
Doesn't
it's
matter.
It's all bad. Oh, my God.
Jeez, I can't believe that. Man,
what are you making me watch? Oh, my God.
It's been so long since we've done a podcast. It's been 2 weeks.
It's been 2 weeks.
I literally, last time me and you were hanging out, I was like, the Mexican government has aliens. There's people pooping on planes.
What are you talking? Oh my God.
That's all things that have happened since we've been here.
Then, we've gone 2 months before, like when I went to Italy.
And the U.S. government lost a plane, and then it just wrecked in some farmer's field.
Yeah.
Like, what the heck's going on?
We don't got to get, we never get political on the
show. No, I'm just saying, there's so
many. We never get political on the show. We can't do that. Now's not the time. The worst time. It's the worst time. I walked in here and I said, wow, what a bad time.
Hey, listen, Donald, you got to stop. Come on. What are you thinking?
Ethan.
No, stop. We got to stop. Pull it back. Pull it back.
So it's funny, though, that my train of thought just completely derailed. You said something that reminded me of something I was going to bring up, and then I completely...
I was talking about the
No, it was what I said, where I was like, I walked in here, and I said, wow. That's obviously, we stole that bit from Shane Gillis. He has a new special out on Netflix.
Really? Mm-hmm. Again?
I'm well, the so first one's on YouTube now. This one's on Netflix.
Oh, I've got Netflix. I can make that happen.
Nate has seen it. He has five seen it. I was like, no, I haven't seen it yet. He said, well, just so you know, and this is my theory anyways, when we went to go see him, like in January of this year, was like, he's workshopping his new special. He said it's a lot of the stuff from the special, which is awesome because I want to go back and listen to it.
No, that's so that's usually what happens if it's somebody who's going to end up having like a taped special. They run through that. So Daniel Tosh, my brother went and saw Daniel Tosh. I think I've even mentioned this already on the podcast, but way back when. But my brother went and saw him, I think while he was in Vegas or something. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But Daniel Tosh had been around for a while. He'd had like two or three comedy specials on Comedy Central. And so he's well known. Anyways, my brother pays like a fortune to go see this guy. And it's literally all the same jokes he had on TV. And I was like, that is the most depressing thing I've ever heard.
Yeah. Usually I feel like it's the other way around. Or it should be. Like, they're workshopping their special and then they put it up.
Also, like, when we went and saw Shane Gillis, I mean, I don't know how long that bit was, but I'm assuming that if they videotaped it, they probably cut out a few of those jokes.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
there's no way it's all exactly the same.
There, yeah, it's crazy.
Is that what we're doing for our 100th? Just going to review Shane Gillis' special.
I really liked it when he's... You remember when he said this?
I like it when it made me laugh. He made me go,
that was funny.
Yeah. Yeah. But speaking of, 100th is the next episode. This is 99.
Oh, gosh.
We're here.
99. I can't believe... And I've been here for every single one of them.
Every single... When did you join?
Like... 75 or
really?
Something. I don't know.
I'm about to go. I'm about to check right now, live on the cast.
So what we do? Internals.
That was
the
first one.
That was the first one I was on.
Yeah, but that wasn't the first one you were officially a host.
I wasn't permy.
Permy.
I wasn't permy.
I wasn't. Think it's called. I think the one where you join is called "A Third Brother Is Born."
Oh yeah.
So I'm looking for it. Let's see. Here we go. Just do a little bit of scrolly scroll. And I can't find it. It was November 4th, 2022. You're about to have your year, inaugural year, dude.
Oh my gosh. I'm
in less
so
than
excited.
2 months. But that was number. Oh, they're not numbered on here. Why aren't they numbered on Apple Podcasts? Only on Spotify.
Why are you on Apple Podcasts?
Because I use Apple Podcasts.
Use Spotty, brother.
No.
Dude, you know what?
75. You're right.
75? Oh, I called that? Man, 75. I think I should get an award. I don't know, $5,000, give or take, might just be okay.
But I've done more than all of the hosts, okay? See,
okay.
You've been on, what, 25 of them once we hit 100? Nate's been on, what,
75?
And a couple here and there. But I'm about to hit 100. That's not true. There's a couple episodes that I've not been a part of. So technically none of
us
have done quite 100.
Man, that was almost really cool.
I've still done more than everyone else.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Dude, so, I went and saw, I went to another concert. Wasn't Nickelback this time. I know.
Sadly.
I know what you're thinking. Thank goodness. No, I went to Avenged Sevenfold.
I don't even know who that is.
You don't know who that is?
No.
Let me guess. You're a nerd. I'm just kidding. Have you ever played Call of Duty? Black Ops? Any of the Black Ops games?
I never had an Xbox or anything to play those on.
Well, guess what? They put it on PlayStation. So
cool. I don't have that either.
And they might have put it on Wii. I don't know.
No, I don't. I haven't.
Dang, man. Okay, so they are just a like kind of metal, kind of not really metal, alt rock kind of band, and they're big in like the late 2000s, and they did a lot of video games, like music.
Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2?
No, they weren't on that.
Dang it.
Post that.
Dang
after
it.
That.
Minecraft?
Not Minecraft, but they were
Fortnite?
On what was it? Need for Speed Most Wanted?
Wow.
You don't know what that game is.
So did you just go and they just played like background video game music?
No. No, and then I, one of the band openers. So when I was in middle school, I was like what you would call an emo kid.
I was what you call a nerd.
An emo like skater boy.
Wow.
With like a shag hair. And
I got to see those photos.
There weren't a lot. My parents made sure of that.
They said, yeah, my kid's going through the ugly phase, so
I,
we gotta...
I wore a studded wristband and belt.
Ouch.
And like,
ouch.
Was a loser.
I never went through that phase. I went through my own phase, which was not pretty, but it wasn't that.
You were a theater kid, it's okay.
Oh, I stand by that. Acting was great, but I'm just talking about like my look. Like, the amount of hair on my head was atrocious.
Wow. Mine probably went to my nose.
Oh, for sure.
In the front.
For sure.
Least.
Yeah.
No, but I was big into like these weird pop emo bands. And there was one called Falling in Reverse, and they were like, looking back on it, they were like 303, but like way more lame.
I feel like half people still wouldn't even know what 303 is.
I don't know. Dude, 303 was awesome. Anyways, yeah, dude, we're doing the hand signal right now. No, but they were like that, except they were a little bit more hard rock and had like the hair that covered half their face and wore eyeliner and stuff.
So Green Day.
No, like way lamer than Green Day. Anyways.
Why do you get all the weird concerts, man?
I don't know. Well, now they're like.
Because they're cheap.
No. But now they do like.
No.
No, listen to me. I know everything. They played really good music. Now they do like metalcore, which I like hard rock and metal and stuff. So it's like a completely different sound. And it was surprising.
Okay.
I was like, that's cool. So anyways, the reason I was there was because my buddy Alec, shout out to my buddy Alec. He doesn't listen at all. His wife for his birthday got him tickets to this, and it's his favorite band. And he's like, here, it's for you and a friend, because I'm not going, is what his wife said. So we went and saw them.
Who's we?
Me and my buddy Alec.
But you said it was for you and a friend. He gave you a ticket for you and a friend.
Well, she said, I got you, talking to Alec,
oh,
a ticket for you and a friend.
I thought you meant your friend.
I was the friend.
I thought you said you meant Alec gave you tickets and said, here's tickets for you and a friend.
Oh, no.
Like, he couldn't go.
Two tickets, me, Alec.
Gotcha.
We're at the concert. Anyways, it's like the second song comes on out of like 10, and he's like, you know what? I'm really tired. Let's leave.
What?
I'm like, this is like your favorite band, and you're wanting to leave? I said, whatever. All right. I'm your ride. Let's get out of here.
What?
It was free for me, so I don't really care.
So you didn't really go to a concert?
There were openers. I went and saw some openers.
You didn't see the actual band? You just saw the openers?
2.5 songs.
Of the actual band?
Of the actual
band. Okay, I thought you meant 2.5 songs was the openers.
And they only played the songs from their new album that is such ass. So
you went to a failed concert.
So mad.
I mean, that makes sense. When
dude, there were so many like
do songs for Black Ops.
There were so many just weird people there, because like it attracted the weirdest. Like, I'm sorry, people. Like, you can have your own style. That's fine. Do you? But when you're 5 foot nothing and about 300 pounds and you smell bad, and you think wearing like eyeliner and paint your nails is cool, dude. Like.
You're getting really judgy over there.
I am. But also, if you're like 35 and that's you, you got to do some searching. You got to look inside yourself and find out who you really are, because that is not a human being.
Wow, not a human being.
I think the Mexican government found them. They're little alien people. China. They were from China, I think. Yeah, definitely China.
Mr. Trump, you can't say that.
Listen, Obama, you're crazy. Obama, you're crazy.
So anyways, we got to chill out. That's cool, man. Something I did over the last couple weeks since we've done a podcast, and you've actually already seen it because you did come over and hang out once without doing a podcast. I got an ice bath.
I'm kind of jealous. I've been interested after you showed me that.
So speaking of the 100th episode... Just do it in the ice bath.
That is a small ice bath.
Hey, it was your idea.
Okay.
It was.
Let's do it.
You texted me. We could cram three boys in there.
Three boys.
And just cuddle up, get kind of warm. And talking like this. Yeah, it's pretty bad.
So then
I made Nate get in it.
What did he do?
My like buddy it? Nate and John, when they came over, we all got in it.
I got in it first. And I was like, I was trying to talk to them when I was doing it. I got it. And I was like, hey, it's cold. And then they got it. They could talk fine. I was like, what the heck? But they were freaking out in other ways. Like, they were not having a good time.
So, me and some friends in high school were, like, at our buddy's house. And they have a pool. But it was, like, 40-something degrees outside.
Yeah.
And we're like, hey, let's jump in the pool. And for some odd reason, I'm like, I'm down with that. Yeah. So, we do that. And I found out that, yeah, it is extremely hard to talk when it's so cold like
yeah,
that. It,
yeah.
It's hard to breathe. It's hard to talk. But you have to, like, do this weird thing where you just, like, become one with the water. And just, like, you have to relax yourself.
Avatar?
And, like, take deep breaths. And, like,
oh, for sure. It's very good for breath control, for sure. Yeah, I did. Nuts. The coldest one I did in my ice bath, I had done, like, 50-ish degrees. Like, right below 50.
Yeah.
And then,
well, it's hard when
the
it's...
heart, then the, no, then the coldest one I did was 40. So I had like a, it was like 48 the last time, I think. So I was like an 8 to 10 degree difference. And oh my God, it was so much worse. 40 degrees was the first time. It was the coldest ice bath I've definitely taken. It was the first time that, like, it's always uncomfortable and it sucks and you got to breathe through it. This was the first one I was like feeling like stabbing pain from how cold it was. And I was like, I can't do this. Like, I was so close to getting out. I was like, no. You can do this. You can do this. It was excruciating.
How does that thing stay cold?
Well, it's insulated walls.
Yeah.
So it's supposed to stay cold for a few days, and I just add ice to it every couple of days.
Interesting.
They also have like a chiller that you can buy, and it'll keep
I feel
the
like
water cold.
That's expensive.
But it's $1,000.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
But like good ice baths, like honestly, if you look for like good ice baths online, you're talking like a couple $1,000s. So like for an ice bath to stay cold, never have to buy ice again, $1,000 really isn't that bad. I'll probably get it eventually, but I don't have
I'd rather buy right like now. One of those like temporary jacuzzis.
Of course you would.
Yeah, I mean,
of course. Yeah, it's more comfortable. Course.
Yeah.
It's not the point. You're beside that's besides the point.
So I got one little story.
Okay.
So my buddy Blake, he is a life flight EMT.
Okay.
Which means he is a helloboy.
Oh, hold on. I'm so sorry to interrupt your story here. We have a call into the podcast. Someone's calling me right now.
Okay.
His name is Nate.
Oh, my goodness.
So let's
Nate?
Have him on.
Who's this Nate guy?
Hey, buddy boy. Great timing. We're in the middle of recording a little thing called That's Movies, Brother.
Oh, yeah. I was hoping to be live on the podcast, dude.
Well, you are, so.
Woo! Wow. I remember when we did that, before that traitor took my spot, dude.
Yeah, this is our 99th. We were just talking.
What was that maniacal laugh I just heard?
I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe it was, yeah.
It like was that. Donald. Maybe it was me. I tell you, I had the best laugh you've ever heard.
So we were just talking about how this is our 99th episode, and I'm. And Mac's been on since 75, so he's done 25, and you've done a couple more than 75, and I'm the only one that can say I've done 100 episodes.
No, you haven't.
I know.
Man, he's
but
like,
but I've
nope.
still done more than you guys.
I think you've probably done 98 up to this point.
Wow.
I think you've been all but one of them.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Did you need to talk to me about something important?
Oh, no. I was going to talk about the other thing, but...
What other thing?
What's the other thing?
What other thing?
That's we got to keep that under the wraps till it comes out. You know what I mean?
Oh, you mean the film that I literally just got done talking about on the podcast? What is bad? You think it's bad now?
No, I thought we were just going to surprise the world.
Oh, they'll be surprised. Don't you worry about
it. If it ever comes out, they'll be surprised.
For Max opening debut acting as... Samson man that walks by.
Guy in the background and guy holding coffee cup in the back.
All right, well, we'll talk about it later.
All right. Hi, That's Movies, Brother. Hi, hello, fan. How you doing?
Fan.
Fan, single fan. All right, goodbye.
Bye. That's always nice.
I don't know if I'd say that, but anyways,
What? So what were you saying? I'm sorry, you had a story.
I don't know. What was I saying?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. My buddy Blake was telling me about his time as a life flight helicopter EMT. And I don't know if you know this, but when you need an EMT, things aren't good. If you need a life flight EMT, it's like twice as bad. Because that's like immediate go to the hospital.
Yeah.
And so he was telling me this guy he had to come pick up. He someone took like an 8-inch knife and stabbed him about 10 times.
That is dangerous.
That's scary.
Yeah.
And then he said, no matter what, like, because he was in an ambulance, and then they're like, we got to get it. Like, something happened. They had to get life flighted from there. Well, they went and they picked him up from the ambulance. The back of the ambulance was just blood on the everywhere. Like, it looked like someone just took a bucket of red paint and just threw it on there, and someone Sick. Did donuts. It was gross. And he was like, all right, we got him, and he was taking him to the hospital, and he's like, man, there wasn't enough, like, fingers to plug holes kind of a situation.
God.
Which I found out you sometimes do that as an EMT.
Shove your finger into an open wound so they don't bleed out.
He said, yeah, some guy's been shot and all you got on you is a finger. Just shove that thing
in
there.
Well, never mind.
Hey, you know what? I commend you for stopping that.
Yep.
Don't let the intrusive.
All I'm saying is any appendage you have that can fill a hole in the moment, you got to do what you got to do. That's all
ew,
I'm saying.
Ew. So anyways, what he had to end up doing, because they're trying to pump him with like plasma and all this stuff, he was bleeding too fast. They're like, this guy's about to eat it. They had to drill into his knee. What's your shin bone called? Femur?
That's wrong. Your femur is the bone.
Yeah,
on your thigh, dude.
Well, what's the one where your shin is?
Your shin bone.
The shin bone, you know, connected to the knee bone.
Uh-huh.
They had to drill holes into his shin in order to pump in IVs, and which I didn't know that was a thing. He told
me
that,
there?
I don't know. Well, apparently you can like absorb things through your bone marrow fast, really fast.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I don't know. So, and then this guy was like, oh, I ain't gonna make it. And then he was like, yeah, I don't think you're gonna make it.
I don't think the EMT is gonna tell you that. I'm not gonna make, hey man, guess what? You're right, you're not.
Well, he said that's what he was thinking. And then you know what? He made it. He's doing
Thank
fine.
God, the shin bone drill.
So, you know, if I'm just bleeding too much, just drill into my shin and just put whatever in there.
Does anybody have a Phillips head?
We're trying to get into this guy's shin here.
And for some reason, it doesn't accept flatheads. Only Phillips. I don't understand.
You know what? You know what's funny? As somebody who owns a house, when you come across
was that a diss on me?
No.
Do I live in a basement of someone else's house?
Yeah. So when you have to like build furniture or do any kind of home improvement projects, and you come across a flathead screwdriver, like not the screwdriver but the screw, a flathead screw, you become very angry because it is literally the stupidest. It is literally the stupidest thing ever invented by man, and it needs to be destroyed.
I don't know why they had two. Why even have two? Why have Phillips and a flat? Why? What's
because flathead came out first, and then they're like, oh wait, let's not be stupid and make a Phillips.
So stop making.
And then they're like, oh wait, let's extra not be stupid and come out with a hex bit. And they're like, oh wait, let's not be even that stupid. Let's do star pattern. That's the It's literally the best thing in the world, and no one uses it half the time.
You're becoming really daddy right now, so not whoa. I meant like
hi, daddy.
I meant like adjective, like dad dash e, not
you know
like
what?
Daddy.
I think you need
like
another
daddy-ish.
Margarita. Wow,
you're getting real daddy on me. If you could stop.
What?
Okay. Let's talk about a movie before you die.
I know. You're making me laugh too much. I'm starting to cough.
So this week on That's Movies, Brother.
That's Movies, Brother.
We watched one of the movies that I've been wanting to see. I wanted to see it in theaters, but I couldn't because I was in Italy when it came out.
Drum roll. I'm a Barbie girl.
No, we did not watch Barbie. And I don't know if I ever will, if I'm being honest with you.
Why not? It's got...
Did you watch it?
No, I don't. No, I haven't watched it.
Still want to watch Oppenheimer.
Sloppenheimer.
We watched Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny.
Boy, there was
a dial. That's for sure.
And I don't know about the Destiny part.
All right, non-spoilers. It is a relatively still new movie, so let's do our best to...
Here we go.
Non-spoiler.
Non-spoiler, here we go.
I guess
we fucking hated it. I hated this movie so much.
Really?
So
this is going to be like our last episode where...
It is literally the second worst Indiana Jones movie there has ever been.
What is the first worst?
Indiana Jones.
Crystal Skull?
Yeah, of course.
Why did... Okay. I don't get the hate. I'm not going to say it's as good as the other ones necessarily. I don't think Crystal Skull is that bad. And I remember, and mark my words, Nathaniel, if you're listening to this, because I remember bringing this up to you before, and you're like, nah. But yes, it is true. Go back and listen to the episodes we did on all the past Indiana Jones movies, and we watched it, and you're like, yeah, like it was enjoyable. It wasn't as bad as I remember. Maybe you were trying to say you never said it wasn't, or that it was good, but it wasn't as bad as you. Regardless, I don't think it's as bad, and Nate agreed with me, that it's not as bad as everyone said it was.
Yeah.
And that's my feelings on it. And a lot of people seem to have problems with the Crystal Skull because it had to do with aliens.
Oh, I didn't care about that. That part's fine.
There are so many like weird mystical, magical, spiritual things happening in all these Indiana Jones movies. And the fact that... So aliens, like there's obviously all these conspiracies for a long time that like they built all these pyramids in ancient places. So that's kind of like what they went off of. And I remember Nate trying to say, like, well, maybe it's because all these other things, all these other, like, artifacts that are based around these movies are based on all this historical stuff. And he said that, like, the crystal skulls are also historical, but they went less historical with it and not necessarily based in what people thought could be fact or kind of like a story based on the past. Regardless, right. This is like, I don't know. I totally disagree with that. I don't know if that's... I'm putting words in Nate's mouth. Maybe that's
the
not
the subject
exactly
was never an issue for me.
Okay, but I got to finish my rant.
How
I
they
know I'm taking a long
subject.
Time on this rant, but I got to make this rant because a lot of Indiana Jones fans, I feel like, have the same feeling. And I've heard the same argument where it's like, oh, all these other things are based on all this historical stuff. And I'm like, dog, the second one was mumbo jumbo stuff. And they're like, well, except for that one. I'm like, okay, that's a third. That is 33% of the movies. I guess 25 if you're adding the fourth one, right?
Right.
So it's like, and the fourth one's not, but we were just talking about before. So 33%. You can't, that's a huge part of it. I don't know. So that just always kind of blew me for...
I'll say this. For a loop. I do prefer the ones that have like real, like... based on reality objects,
but they all do. Even the crystal skulls exist.
No, yeah, I'm saying that, but I'm saying Temple of Doom. I don't know if you've heard of the heart rock things. I don't even know what the heck they were.
I don't know.
Kalima.
I don't know, bro.
But I mean, like that wasn't really based on anything
from
that
I know
of.
Yeah,
and I mean, there's weird cannibals and tribes and weird things like that in the world, which. You know, it takes inspiration from some things, but it's not like, I mean, they have like biblical artifacts and stuff is what they're like looking for in all the other movies. And so like, those are things that are grounded in things that are said to be real or are real, you know? And that's, I think why I like them more is because there's more of a sense of like reality within it, like our possibility.
Right.
The suspension.
Possibility. Sure.
The suspension of disbelief is more present.
Minimal.
It's more present when those things are there.
Right.
You know.
So, a very quick recap, because all I'm going to recap is basically what we know in the trailer, so I don't want to spoil anything.
Yeah,
they're looking for an artifact, just like they are in every other Indiana Jones movie. This is the Dial of Destiny.
It's a dial.
Not going to tell you exactly what it does, because they don't really talk about it in the trailers, but you can pretty much assume from the trailers what it does.
Yeah.
I
mean, we got a lot of things wrong. Like, we assume...
There is something that I did get wrong I'll talk about when we get to spoilers, but there's not really much to recap as far as the actual story goes.
Yeah.
Because everything that you've seen in the trailers is all we can really talk about. So they're obviously looking for this thing. There's a lot of Indiana Jones-esque... What are the words I'm looking for right now? Adventures and escapades.
Escapades.
And so you still get all of those escapades. As far as my thoughts on it, non-spoilery, I didn't mind it. I didn't hate it. So I'm really surprised that you absolutely hated it.
I was probably being a little hyperbolic. I will say that. But I did not think it was as good as the original three. And maybe that's just safe to say that I'm too nostalgic about them. Yeah. It's hard to not have a younger Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
It's more so... That is a problem I had, is his age in this movie. And it really did... It takes away from what this movie could be, and it's kind of... It takes away from your what you think of Indiana Jones. And then, like, he's an action star.
Yeah.
Action adventure. You know, like, that's what you think of. And so when you have a guy who's 80 years old in that role...
It loses some of the allure. And
it's less fantastical.
I will say, I do agree with you on that. I was watching it and I did feel
that's similar. My biggest issue.
I did feel similarly.
I mean, I enjoyed this one more than Crystal Skull. I think my biggest kind of thing that is my biggest feeling about this is that if this was made in place of Crystal Skull when Crystal Skull came out, I think this movie would have done
A
lot better than it did now. But
people had low expectations.
And I think I even would like this movie more.
It's like Crystal Skull came out, it didn't do very well. So now it's like you need a real banger to save it from that kind of thing, and it just kind of
wasn't. I mean, this would have been good, and then them coming out with a different movie afterwards, I guess, would have been okay. But
yeah,
I don't know.
So
yeah.
the three main things I want to touch on, which I can touch on non-spoilery. First one, acting. I think all the acting was great. I can't remember any moments in the movie where I was like, ooh, your acting is bad. So, good acting, I think, throughout the whole thing. Maybe you can prove me wrong on something, but I think the acting was good.
I mean, that's just funny the way you say that. It's funny.
And then so that's the first thing. The second thing is the writing/story and plot. So, that all is all one thing. What I can say about it without spoiling is the plot made sense for the most part. When we go into spoilers, there are those classic things that I always like to pick out where it's like, this doesn't make sense. Just some things that don't make sense. There are a few things that happen like that, but not enough to where it ruins the entire movie for me.
You think it's more of like
it's savable.
Like they didn't catch that?
Or they just weren't thinking because they were too excited with making an Indiana Jones movie.
That's
a horrible excuse because you can't do that because if it's still big enough and it's like, well, it's Indiana Jones. What are you going to do? No, it still has to make sense. But it wasn't egregious enough to where it didn't make sense. And that honestly leads into, I thought there was a bit of it that was a little bit lackluster. It was good. It just wasn't like absolutely incredible like I had hoped. I was hoping, like I told you when we were talking about this on the podcast, when I saw the trailer for it, I heard the Indiana Jones theme music. I smile and I get giddy when I saw it in theaters. There wasn't a lot of time while I was watching the movie where I smiled and got giddy, which is what I was hoping.
Okay,
like it didn't, it got so close.
There's a part in the beginning of the movie where I felt that way.
Yeah.
And I think it's probably, who does this? Is it Danny Elfman? No, it's not Danny Elfman. It's,
oh my God.
Star Wars.
Thank you. Yes. John Williams.
John Williams. I think this is the last John Williams movie, by the way. I could be wrong. Correct me if I'm wrong. Write it in the comments. By the way, that'll never get old for me. I'm going to keep saying that on a lot of stuff. Just write it in the comments. But I think it's the last time he'll be doing any kind of, I think, movie work. And because he's like 90.
That's crazy.
I think.
But you know what's crazy? What I just realized, I just looked this up just out of curiosity. Steven Spielberg directed all the Indiana Jones, like the original three.
Yeah, yeah.
And four.
Yeah.
But he didn't do five.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
Because he was like, oh, shoot, I need to stop this.
Stop one.
But no, like there's some parts in the beginning. There's some parts in the middle that that, again, I mean, not to tie too much to back to the last episode, but there's some, like, special effects that are really not hitting a lot of stuff, mm-hmm. and you probably already know what I'm talking about, and it was like, oh, that's so hard to do, and then there's he's just old. Like,
look, we know in the trailers that we see a younger version of Indiana Jones. So my theory was, okay, they're obviously using some sort of deep fake, some sort of AI, not necessarily, but deep fake, you know, have somebody who looks like him, like a stunt guy who has similar features, and they do his face on him, right? Deep fake.
Yeah.
There were some, at the beginning, I was like, oh my God, it looks really good. I mean, for the first 2 minutes before he spoke.
Yep.
When he started speaking, you're like, ah. Yeah. When you start speaking, it's so hard. Yeah. Then you could tell.
It's because they have, you know, this guy playing a, what do you think, 40-something-year-old Indiana Jones, but you have an 80-year-old Indiana Jones voice coming out of him.
Okay, really I wrote that down, too. I said, he sounds older than he looks.
He sounds old, yes, because there's a cadence to Harrison Ford's voice.
Yeah.
That even in when he's gotten older, that cadence has changed. And you cannot replicate that just by making him try to do the voice again without doing something extra to either say, hey, sound younger, or have somebody who can do a really good impression, which I almost feel like that might have been a better option. I don't know, because I've never really heard anyone do a
perfect
Harrison Ford. I've never heard anyone do a Harrison Ford impression. So I'm like, if someone knew how to do that, I bet it'd be pretty good.
So acting, and then you have the story,
then give
and
us
the
pointers.
Writing and all that, how that goes together. Again, I didn't think it was terrible by any means.
Yeah. I thought the story kind of subject and everything. I thought it was very Indiana Jones.
There was some stuff that they do, though, with the idea of the story and the object that they're chasing that I wish they did more of.
Is that a thing? Is that like a thing that people have talked about, like, is a mystical object in
reality? I don't know.
Reality?
I have to look it up.
We will
during this podcast at some point. But so I wish there were some writing parts I wish they did differently, not because the way they did it was bad, but there was more of stuff that I'd be like, oh, but if they did this with that, it'd be so interesting. Yeah. But what they did do, I would say most of it made sense. There's a couple moments where I was like, they should have fixed that because that doesn't really make sense. And then the third thing I want to hit on non-spoiler is just the overall feel, because I look at movies very emotionally. Mm-hmm. And I touched on that a little bit where I didn't get a lot of this giddiness. There were a few points in the movie that I did, but not as much as I had wanted.
It didn't make you cry like The Flash, did it?
This is so much better than The Flash. This movie is so much better than The Flash.
It's better than The Flash, but it's, I think it's emotionally dry. There's not a lot of emotion out of it, other than the fact that
there's some stuff they could have done to make it better.
Yeah, I mean, there's some little cues where, like, you have like, oh, this person was from the first movie, kind of things that happened, and
there was a specific moment they talked about some things that they referenced from the past movies that did actually hit me, and I was like, oh snap, and that made me invested.
You're gonna have to say what those are, because I don't know what you're talking about.
I will. But so overall, with all those things, and I feel like you can probably get a guess of how I'm gonna rate this movie, my rating number is a solid 7. I'm gonna give it a 7. What are you giving it?
I'm giving it a 6.
That's not bad. You said you hated this movie.
I mean, okay.
That's above average.
You got to understand, like, because it's because of the franchise. The franchise is what frustrates me, because you have to compare it.
Still, I thought you'd at least give it a 5, which is like average.
Oh, no. I was.
Hey, you liked it above average.
I'm more frustrated that, like, after all the criticisms they got from the last movie, there were improvements. Do not get me wrong. There are improvements that I think they saw that people did not like that they fixed.
Let me tell you what, the CG was better than the last one.
Well, of course.
The monkeys swinging through.
Oh my gosh, the Shia LaBeoufs. Are we getting into spoilers?
Yeah, let's do it.
Shia LaBeouf is dead. They killed him.
That sounds like one of those things where you go, we're talking spoilers. This guy dies just to bait people. That one's real. That's the moment I was talking about. When he mentions, because you notice at the beginning of the movie that Marion, his love interest from the first one, and then
they're
she comes
separated.
Back in the fourth one, and she's one that actually, you know, sticks around. And then I was like, oh, they're not together. Like, what's happening? What's going on? And then later, you find out. She said, the main girl in this movie says, what would you do if you could go back in time? And he said, I would tell my son not to enlist.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, they're giving a really good reason for why he's not here. He's off in the army. And she said, like, what would you tell him or why or how would you or whatever? And he said, I would tell him that he was going to die. And I'm like, shit. That was good. I liked that moment. And he said, he talked about it a little bit and said how that rift basically... His death basically ended up causing him and Marion to split up because of the grieving that it caused them. All this craziness. So that
made him a bad husband. It made him.
I really liked that moment. I wish we had more time to kind of revel in what it meant and what it did for him and his family. But because there's so many, there's a lot of dynamics going on with family. Yeah. Because the main conflict is the fact that this girl that shows up, who's the main character, is his goddaughter. Yeah. So you already have that going on. So you can't spend too much time on the other stuff. So
it's
a little much, but I liked it.
Honestly, I think... So this movie cost about like... I think it's like $260 million, right? Something like that. It's in that realm. And I'm like, I think it would have been nice to have maybe seen a little clip of... I know Shia LaBeouf is canon, but like bring him in as like a small scene of him going off to war or something.
Yeah.
I think that would have probably...
$300 million?
Holy mackerel.
Yeah.
That's an expensive movie.
Oh, my God.
But I think, that is a very, it's probably the most, I guess, emotional scene in the movie aside from the ending, maybe. Mm-hmm. That really could have, if it had something more substance to it, like, okay, they had to find a way to keep Shia LaBeouf out of it because they probably weren't going to hire him after everyone shat on him.
Yeah.
Shitted sounds weird. Shat on him. But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it just could have used a little more substance, a little more kind of imagery, like maybe seeing some connections and ties to that. And
so this movie cost $300 million. Guess how much it made?
$200 million.
No.
More?
No, it wasn't that much of a flop. It made its money back.
It made its money back, but they didn't. That's not counting advertising, is it?
I don't know if the 300 is counting over. I think it is, but I could be wrong.
Because you have to double for advertising, I think.
I don't know. I think it did. No, I think. Hold on. I don't know. I'm not going to look it up because that just sounds like a lot.
All right, didn't make enough for them to justify a sequel.
$382 million.
Wow.
Yeah.
$82 million.
$382 million, which is not. I mean, after you're paying your actors and all the people and everyone else. That's not a lot.
No, it's not. No, that is not a lot there.
Which is just crazy. Like, it's such a bummer because I also agree. I don't think this movie deserved such low numbers. I really don't. And it's just because it was brought... It was... I think it's bad timing when it came out with Oppenheimer and Barbie and Mission Impossible. It's like there's so much happening. And because the last one didn't do well in box office and fan ratings... I feel like they really needed to set themselves apart, and I think there wasn't much hype because of that. So having all these other options to go see.
Disney owns Lucasfilms, right? Yeah. So they are the...
So that's the problem?
Maybe. I mean, Disney didn't have any big movie coming out, so they had to put their foot in there somehow. So, again, I don't know. Do you feel like this is part of like the rushed kind of trend we see a lot? Do you think it was rushed at all, or do you think... There was things they just didn't put attention to or take enough time with in it, because there are times where I feel like that, or if I'm and I'm like, maybe. But then again, I don't really know what they could do to make this better.
Yeah, I don't think it's as rushed as a lot of other movies. I'm sure it was rushed. I'm sure if you talk to the directors and everyone who worked on it, like, oh, yeah, the executive producers are wanting this movie. The producers are wanting this movie a lot sooner than we would like, but that's probably every movie. Yeah. I feel like it didn't feel as rushed as a lot of other stuff because, again, the story, while there were some holes in it, like, that wasn't the main problem.
It just felt like it lacked. Yeah, and then again, I guess in the post-production realm, too, it wasn't perfect, but it wasn't that bad. You know, again, like, you gotta reference The Flash on it, but like, it wasn't that bad as far as effects. I mean, there are some, like, so since we're spoilers, we were talking about, like, the opening scene looked amazing at first, but then you kind of started to see, like, all right, I do kind of see some issues, but it's honestly the best visual de-aging I think we've seen thus far. Is that safe to say?
I don't see a lot of things with de-aging to be. That's not true. Marvel has it a lot.
Oh, yeah. I guess they did have that.
It's hard to compare because this opening was basically a flashback of like how they first found the like half of the Dial of Destiny. And he's de-aged. Indiana Jones is younger. It was such a long scene. A lot of the flashbacks or like de-aging scenes that we see nowadays, I feel like are pretty quick. It's in like one scene, but this is like the first 15 minutes of the movie.
Yeah,
at least.
I know. Well, that's what I'm saying is like,
so we have a lot more time to analyze it.
That's a big bite to chew.
When people are angry or they make like emotional reactions to stuff when they're talking, it looks a certain way. And there are moments when he was like yelling at somebody and being angry, and it just his face didn't look like he was.
Yeah,
it's hard to get those nuances out when you're doing deep fakes.
Also,
like
I think there are a lot of times where you can tell where it's not him versus okay, this is a guy like this is a guy who's a stunt double or somebody who's not Harrison Ford, and then all right, this is a de-aged Harrison Ford because you can see the build of him, his reactions to things, like if he's doing something remotely physical, like Harrison Ford has got an old man body.
He does.
He ain't got the young. Indie body.
He do be old boy.
He do be old. I think there's a scene where he's like, he's getting hung, and there's an explosion.
He's getting what?
He's getting hung by Nazis.
Okay.
Yeah, and there's an explosion, which should have died, but, you know, that's nitpicky. dude, he gets exploded. I mean, it's not like no nuclear warhead.
I also wrote a note down that says, no one cares about the explosion in the building. That was a massive explosion, and no one went to check on it or cared or mentioned it or did anything about it.
It's World War II. There's explosions going on everywhere.
Okay, sure.
They heard about that thing in Japan. They're like, that wasn't nothing. But anyways, like, there's this thing where he's like flopping around, and he's like on the ground, or he's doing movements, and I'm like, this is an old man. And they prove that it's an old man by when they immediately go to quote unquote present day Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
That is the grossest old man body I have seen.
Oh, come on. Don't
I'm
be
sorry.
Mean.
Do not give me old man Harrison Ford's naked body.
It's the truth, man. That's just how you age, okay?
It is the truth. I already know it exists. I'm rapidly heading there. I need to not know about it, okay?
Ignore it as long as possible.
I'm just going to drink my sorrows away.
Okay, let me give you the biggest, most frustrating story, of this entire movie. This is one that you could argue ruins the rest of the movie.
Is it when what's-his-name dies by getting hit in the face on the back of a train, and then he's like,
magically,
I'm alive.
Okay.
I'm alive. Is that it?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, thank you.
This guy, so the main bad guy in this movie is when he's, and then like the flashbacks when they're first looking for the Dial of Destiny. What, like I would say 30, 40 years before this, you know, the present day part of this movie starts. This guy who has the dial or whatever, he's like, Indiana Jones, give it back. So he like gives it back, and this guy, they're on top of a train, okay?
Yeah.
And the guy's holding onto the side of a train, and then a giant, what do you call them? This like metal beam, those metal beams that stick out like to the side and over top of the railroads.
I don't know.
Whatever. It's a giant metal beam. And then basically Indiana Jones jumps over it so it doesn't hit him. But then it smacks the guy, the bad guy, who's hanging onto the ladder on the side of the train. And I'm talking at least 60 miles an hour to the face. Like, no chance whatsoever.
What's that actor's name?
At all. That you could survive this.
What's his name? Something Mikkelsen?
Yes, Mads Mikkelsen.
That's his name, Mads Mikkelsen. Yeah. He is such a good actor.
Yep.
He's great.
Yep.
And I think he is one of the best parts of this movie, but he's so underutilized. He plays a great villain.
So,
which I love him in villain roles, but still, it's like, he could be so much more menacing.
I knew he was going to, okay, so when he shows up later, I wrote down in my notes, no chance this guy survived. He got hit in the head on a fast-moving train. There's no way. The next thing I write down, because I said, you know what? No, I'm going to predict what's happening. This is what they want me to think. And I'm going to say, he uses the Dial of Destiny that can kind of sort of somewhat control
time. That's what I thought.
To go back in time to save himself so he doesn't die, almost like revive himself. I was like, maybe that'll be interesting.
But if you're already dead, how do you do that?
But guess what?
Wait. No. I want to talk about what you just said there.
Or hold on.
If you die.
I didn't give it a lot of thought, Mac.
Wait. So, all right. Say I die tomorrow.
Shut up, dude.
After I'm dead and no longer can be in this world, I go back in time.
Or maybe like one of his henchmen goes back and saves him. Something, right?
Yeah, okay? Yeah.
Nope. He just survived that. No chance. Zero. It's insane. And it ruins, that is one thing that you could argue ruins the rest of the movie, because he just shouldn't
be there. He should be at least like, you know, like the burn victims we talked about prior.
Agreed.
You know?
I thought he'd at least turn his head and it'd be like all scarred.
Nope. Oh, yeah, like a Bond villain? Yeah. Sick. Nope. Or he had like a limp.
He's perfectly fine. No scars.
A hook hand? A hook hand would be great.
God, it made me so mad.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, a little side note. Train scene. They're about to jump off the train. And his little English sidekick for this time,
yep.
Baz is his name. I think it's short for Basil, maybe.
Like Basil?
Like Basil, but as. he says, I got to find this part. He says, where is it? Before he jumps, he goes, what about my dicky knees? And it made me think.
He did not say that.
He says that. I am quoting him. What about my dicky knees? And I'm thinking, what's a dicky knee? Is it just a knee with an obscenely ugly growth on it that looks like a penis? Or do you just have a bunch of dicks growing out of your knee?
Did you know that it's an actual term? I looked up dicky knees and it says, how to fix your dicky knee. Body and spine solutions.
Oh my gosh, these British people, they don't know how to speak English. The English don't know how to speak English.
I don't know what dicky knee means, though.
I think it just means my bad knees. Which, you know what's easier than saying dicky knees? My bad knees.
Indiana Jones and the Curse of the Dicky Knee. Yeah, so.
That movie's a 10 out of 10.
I'm just going down the list here of my notes that I have here. Hold on.
We'll spitball each other. All right. And after that, I wrote, "Oh, why do we need to?"
Okay. So the chase scene.
I want to puke.
Hold on. The chase scene. When they're like running after, what's her name?
His
goddaughter.
I don't know, and I couldn't care less. She's the worst character in this movie.
You got to rate this lower than a 6, man. You hate this movie.
Maybe. No, but I mean, I had fun in it, but I just didn't like her.
She's the main part. So, anyways, when they're trying to chase her, and then they're trying to chase Indiana Jones, and he runs away on the horse. So he gets on a horse during this parade, right?
Which, his face, full CGI.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I think he rode the horse for most of those
scenes.
Yeah,
all the close-up scenes where he's just trotting. Or galloping, maybe. But if he's doing anything remotely athletic
that is besides that.
It is a superimposed CGI Harrison Ford head. And there's a
Man,
movie that
let
I...
let me say, it's got a... I'm sorry, what?
There's a movie I reference whenever I see bad like face replacement CGI. It's a movie called Baby Geniuses. Super cult film. Very strange. I loved it as a child. It's about babies that before they learn to talk, they are super geniuses. And then when they learn to talk, they cross over this plane and become stupid. Anyways, there's a scene where these super babies are doing like a Tarzan swinging on a rope through this mall or something.
Okay.
And it's obviously a little person with a CGI baby head over it. And it's just superimposed. And it looks so bad. This movie is made in the 90s. It looked like that.
No, I didn't notice. So I didn't think it was that bad.
All right, so so Harrison Ford has hijacked a police officer's stallion, and he is galloping through New York City, and he's galloping through these parades and stuff because we just landed on the moon. Yeehaw! Well, he's going into the subway on a horse, and. He jumps onto a platform, I recommend you look at that scene and look at his head.
Okay, I will.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on, so it's hard to look right at his face. But during that scene, he rides through the parade.
Past
and
JFK.
There's these people who are... Oh, my God. Excuse me, Harrison, which one looks better? Number one? Or there's a guy... There's like a whole like line of people playing trumpets. Yo, I was looking directly at this one guy. Wasn't even trying to play the trumpet.
The guy. Wait. From your perspective, guy on the left?
Yes.
That's exactly who I was looking at.
He's
just like,
he held the trumpet kind of close to his mouth, but he's walking in a parade, and you can see the mouthpiece by his mouth moving up and down, so it's not pressed against his lips at all. He's just holding it relatively close, and they're playing trumpet noises.
He's like, I hope I can get another acting gig out
of this. Yeah, it's really bad. It's really, like, at least put it up against your mouth.
I know. Like, can you not just, like, pretend like you're blowing into something?
Okay, so
next movie, Sloppenheimer.
The next thing, you have an action scene, and this is probably one of the best. So you have the chase scene on the horse. Another action scene they have is once Indiana Jones meets the girl. Dude, we have to figure out her name. This is really bad. Man, like the main character, Helena Shaw. Yeah,
Helena
okay,
Shaw, that's, but he calls her something else.
Helena.
No, he calls her something else. He's got a name for her.
Fucking Wombat. Like, why does he call her Wombat? Because he does call her Wombat.
That's... I don't know. I would feel like if I was a woman and someone started calling me Wombat, I would be greatly offended.
So, Harrison... Okay, it's Harrison Ford. So, Indiana Jones finally catches up to Wombat and... Then they had this whole chase scene through
Italy. No.
No, it's before they get to Sicily. It doesn't matter.
It's rooftop.
No, it's after that.
Because that made me think of Mission Impossible.
No, it's when they're in the little like car thing.
Tut tut.
Yes.
Was that when they were in Morocco?
Maybe that's where it's Morocco. Okay. So they're my thought is we already had the chase scene.
By the way, I just want to throw this out there. The first time they went to Morocco is not what Morocco looked like to me when I was in Morocco. This looked like Morocco. It's kind of nice.
Cool. So we already had the chase scene where he's on the horse. Now the next action scene is there's a chase scene, but he's in this little vehicle.
Tut-tut.
And it makes me think they're probably doing chase scenes in vehicles because he's old. So he can't do a lot of like running and jumping and
no, you're wrong. You're wrong, sir.
No?
This is Indiana Jones at his prime. He is going to be jumping from vehicle to vehicle. And you know what?
Jump like once or twice.
He's the driver.
That's fine if he's sitting down.
Every time he's like,
oh my God.
Well, yeah, let me drive.
He's the main character. He's got to.
Of course.
So my whole point is, I do think they're, I don't know, man. I'd have to go back and watch the other Indiana Jones
movies. I think those little three-wheel cars are going
way faster than what they should. But I do think that there's some different stuff with action scenes that they could do. Maybe not with him because of his age now, but that just feel more Indiana Jonesy. And that's what we're talking about, where he's kind of old, so you can't, there's only certain things you can do. But what bothered me was the premise of that. It just seemed kind of corny and cheesy that the people that he was running away from was Wombat, Helena's ex-fiance, who is like a drug dealer.
Oh, yeah.
But, okay, I did say the acting was good. Not his.
No.
When
he was
like, hey, you threw away the ring, and then he yelled after them. It looked so weird and cheesy, and it just, the whole situation
it
felt
was a
really,
joke that just was not
it
hitting,
just seemed very
and
silly.
It, and
it like, was, this it whole
was, it was drawn out.
Yeah, the too. Whole chase scene
by
based
the way,
around this felt very silly. And how did they end? Because they were trying to catch the main bad guys while also being chased by her ex.
Yeah.
How did they catch up to them that quickly? They left so much ahead of them. And then how did they randomly keep running into them? Because they're like, oh, they're this way. But then they kept being chased by those people. So had to divert down a bunch of streets. And randomly, they would run into the bad guys they were chasing. It was so convenient. It was kind of bothered me.
Yeah. I don't know. But just this, the scenes leading up to that chase are also kind of crazy. Like, they're in this little auction room, and there just so happens to be a kid who is We'll call him Short Round Number Two.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
he's Short Round Two.
Short Round Two.
Let's call him. Let's call him Tall Square.
Tall Square. All right.
But instead of him being a good driver, he's a good pilot.
Also, how?
Because
he studies airplanes. Because they did talk about, like, when the helicopter went by or the plane went by, he was like, hey, that's this model. How do you know that? And he's like, that's an American helicopter or whatever he said. And yeah. So because of that, it's another note I have at the end of the movie. I said, oh, hold on. Let me find it. Why would she asked the kid when they're flying away in the airplane, Indy's being taken away. Wombat, because that's what I'm going to call her from now on. Ask him, hey, can you fly that plane? And then he says, like, I don't know. I've never flied that plane. And she said, you haven't flown any planes. Dog, why'd you ask him if he could fly the plane then? He's 12.
Oh, my gosh. So
and
stupid.
I guess he maybe he studied planes because he was talking about it all the time. But, like,
or maybe
give me more backstory.
Or maybe he's, you know.
Give me more backstory.
Maybe he's on the spectrum and he's just got that part of his brain unlocked.
The plane part?
The plane part.
If you could unlock my plane part, that'd be cool.
No, but, like, the scene leading up to that with the little auction and stuff. So they're about to get into their tussle and the bad guys come out. Well, the first guy who grabs onto the dial, no joke, I thought was Borat. I want you to look at that scene. The guy who grabs it, he like grabs it and has a gun. And he's like, I don't know what he says, but I'm like, holy crap, that's Borat. And then I did a double take. Oh, it's not Borat. I got sad. I was like, this would have been way better if this was Borat.
Oh, my God.
No, but Sala makes a return, which is from the first. Is he just in the first movie?
I think. Doesn't he show up in 4 too? As the same kind of thing, like a little bit of an Easter egg?
He
thing?
Might, but he's like an American immigrant now, and he brought his family, and he. This is one thing that made no sense. He like wanted to go with him and be go on an adventure again.
Yeah.
He misses the old days. Like he's like, I miss the sand and the sea and all this stuff. And I'm like, bullshit, you're in America, the greatest country on earth, and you wanna go somewhere else? You wanna go back to Egypt? Are you nuts?
That's where he's from, bro. He didn't want to live there. I get the sense of adventure.
Hey,
I like that part. I like that part.
You know what I would do if someone took me to, like,
give
Ireland?
Him hell, Indy.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Give him hell, Indiana Jones.
I liked
and
it.
And I'm like,
fuck you, Mac. I like that part.
Like, all right, that's kind of fun, but it's like, it just, like, made me think of just, like, you know those, like, bucket list style movies where it's, like, a bunch of old people just doing rom-com stuff or whatever? It just made me think of that.
Oh, my God.
I think there's a movie called The Bucket List. And I think it's got who's in Bruce Almighty played God? What's his name?
He talks like this.
What? Oh!
I'm
Morgan Freeman?
Morgan Freeman. Nah, yeah.
Nice. Okay, cool.
Okay. What were we talking about?
Antonio Banderas showed up in this movie.
Puss in Boots drives a boat.
Which is cool. I like how they tried to like add the whole Indiana Jones is afraid of snakes thing, but in a different way. That was interesting.
He's like...
The eels.
The eels. They're basically snakes. He's like, no, they're not. They're not snakes.
Try not to be scared.
Which, I'm not going to lie. Eels... Absolutely terrifying. I don't know if you've ever been like face to face with one, like close. They are.
Well, I'm like Indiana Jones. I hate snakes. Well, I do. I hate snakes.
Honestly, I would rather be in front of snakes.
Nope.
They, yeah.
Okay. I'm just quickly going down my list.
And I'd
of
rather
notes.
Be in front of eels than whatever the bug tunnel they went through, which not the first time that's happened.
I literally said, oh, there always has to be creepy crawlies, is what I said, which is fine. But. I don't think he should be scared because he wasn't super scared the first time that happened from what I remember.
No.
And I'm like, dude, you're only supposed to be afraid of snakes. That is your thing.
I'm not going to lie.
He was like, get him off me. Get him off me.
If a centipede like crawl.
Oh, I hate centipedes.
I would probably die just out of fright.
Yeah, yeah. I hate him. But Indiana Jones, he's only afraid of snakes. Going down my list, I also said that I do like that they have stakes in this movie and they actually kill people. I feel like they actually kill people in Indiana Jones movies.
Yeah.
And it actually feels like it's meaningful. Not that, like, you just introduce this character and then he dies, but it's like, I feel like they do a decent job at, like,
making us understand the relationship they have. Like this boat guy's like, oh, I've known him for a while. When they meet, they hug. He helps him on this little mission, and then he dies. You're like, I was just starting to like him.
Right.
It's like, it's not like you just introduced and then they die. It's like you just start to like him, then they kill him, which I like because I hate movies that are just afraid to kill people. And there's some gory deaths too. Like there's more, I would say more shocking deaths in this. Like out of nowhere, someone will die, and I'm like, oh my God. It is great.
That's always nice when someone just has an abrupt, unexpected death.
Yeah.
It's really good sometimes. It's like a palate cleanser. It wakes you up a little bit in the movies.
I just said one thing. Your turn.
Okay. So one thing that kind of, this is not the first movie that has this issue, but it's very present and it's very frustrating for me.
Mm-hmm.
Indiana Jones has a history. You know, he has seen the unthinkable. And he knows that there is things out there that are, one, unexplainable. I mean, obviously, if you like being the fan and stuff, you know exactly what the unexplainable is. Of course, and you weren't there to experience it. But if I was him, I would still not be the guy who's like, it belongs in a museum. I would be the guy who's like, this might have the only thing in the world that gives you immortality or something. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I would go after every single mythological item there possibly could be in hopes that it is mystical and gives powers or whatever. And she tries to convince him of like magic or something. And he's like, I forget how the conversation went, but he kind of said like, I've seen things I can't explain, but
right.
Magic is fooey or whatever. He does that. And I'm like, no, you should have like the most
respect
for it possibly being something magical or whatever. And that's kind of frustrating to me.
I think he knows. I don't know. There was that moment in that movie where he's like, well, I have seen things I can't explain. I think, I don't know if
I'm
he
like,
just.
Bro, you've seen a spaceship. You've seen literally angel demons. You've seen a guy rip a heart out with his mind.
Yeah.
And an old, old knight.
I thought that conversation, he was actually like admitting to like understanding that, yeah, there's some weird magical shit happening.
He's like, yeah, I can. Yeah, things can explain, but this is not it.
Is that what he said? I don't
it's
remember.
Like, it was like, I, that's the way I thought the conversation went. And I'm like, eh. Or like the, I'm trying to remember what the mythos behind the first object they were trying to look for is called the Spear of Destiny, or it's got another fancy name for it. It's the what they're on the train for in the beginning of the scene. It's the spear that pierced Christ's like
that drew the blood of Christ,
and it's supposed to grant someone power or whatever. Like that's a thing, I guess.
Right.
And this was a as I was watching the movie was like, oh, this kind of makes sense. It's only 50 years old. Is what
I wonder
they
if
said.
You took Jesus Christ's blood, what his blood type would be?
I don't know. Kind of guy. I think it'd be I'd be positive.
It'd be positive. All right. Anyways, what's up?
I had this theory. Like as I was watching the film, like they were talking about, like, oh, the spear is a fake. It's only 50 years old tops. Yeah. And I'm like, what if it's been taken out of time?
Bum, 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 bum.
And it actually is a mystical item that bum, they're like, bum, you know, I was like, oh, that'd be such a cool thing to throw in there. That would be like
that. All that stuff was real.
Like it was real, but it like they use the dial. Anyway.
But I don't think anyone's really used the dial because it's been separated since it was created.
Right, right, right. But you don't know. You don't know.
I know.
You know.
Another thing that's kind of weird that happened. They were on the boat. His friend Antonio Banderas dies. They light dynamite. They get away and they escape on the boat that the bad guys came in. Why was that boat still on?
That boat should be. Are you talking about the boat that they blew up? No, the one that should have a hole in the bottom? Is that the one you're talking about? Because I guarantee you a stick of dynamite might just sink a boat.
But my whole point is they escape on the boat of the bad guys.
Yeah.
How was it still on? Why did they just leave the keys in it?
A lot of people do that with boats. If they're
not if you're a bad guy aborting another, you take the keys out and you put them in your pocket so they can't just run away. Come on. I don't know. Just another small thing that I saw.
Yeah, no, that might be a little nitty.
But I also like how she was like, oh my gosh, that was amazing. Like, we got away. And he looked at her and said, my friend was just murdered.
And yeah. I'm like, thank God, because there's so many movies that they're like, whoa, we got it. Like, they're cheering about this crazy thing that happened, just forgetting all the weight that just happened. And I'm like, that was cool. I'm like, and I wrote down, I was like, thank you for not forgetting, like, the weight of the situation. And I don't know.
No, that's good. Also, I call the fact that they think that there's something wrong with that tablet that they brought from the sea.
Yeah.
And thinking that there is something inside of it.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's BS. Like, it's coated in wax, yeah, but, like, he already says it's wax-coated wood. He's like, but it's heavier than normal.
Yeah, heavier than wood and wax. That's the point.
I know, but I'm like, that's a...
And I'm pretty sure they even said it was, like, coated in wax. Why would it be coated in wax? To preserve it underwater. It's smart, dog. Come on, stop it.
Okay. How long have we been going to this?
I don't know. Why? You were trying to get out of here? You're done?
No.
You're done?
I'm not done. I'm just curious. Anyways.
Let me quickly go through all these, the last ones that I have. Okay, the other biggest problem I had with this.
Was it them going through the cave and yelling and...
That was kind of silly when they were singing. But no, not necessarily. So they go through the cave. The kid, tall square, the opposite of short round, mm-hmm. tall square got captured. Okay.
Like an idiot.
And then Wombat and Indy go through this cave to find the second half of the dial. All right. And then they get to it. They go through all this, like, they have to be smart and figure out this labyrinth, just like Indiana Jones style. Loved it. But then Tall Square gets basically handcuffed to the henchman guy, and they fall off this broken bridge, and they go into the water. So Tall Square escapes.
He says he can't swim.
Which is fine, whatever. He escapes. And then when they get to the last room, Indiana Jones, guess who's there? Tall Square. How the hell did he get to that last room? If you just hopped in that water, it's apparently a shortcut that can bypass all the booby traps and actually interesting things of the labyrinth that you have to figure out and be all Indiana Jones-like.
Yep.
That's the whole interesting part. And they completely ruined the purpose. Also, and I'm like, I hated that.
Tall Square kind of reminded me of, like, Batman Arkham games. You ever play those?
No, but I know what you're talking about.
He was, like, up there in the rafters on a gargoyle or something, and I'm just like, he's Batman.
But, like, how did he get there?
I don't know. It makes no sense.
And it's a shortcut. Plot device. All of that stuff didn't need to exist to get there. You could have just swam down that little river.
For real.
I don't know. It completely diluted that part for me.
Also, it really frustrated me because it seemed like once they got to that final room that the bad guys came out of nowhere, but...
They were following them.
I mean, they were following them, but, I mean, like, I feel like they just came like they were already there or something. Or, like, we went the other way. But strange, one thing that's kind of funny is, and maybe this might be like a weird kind of writing, mishap, they are looking at the coffin of Archimedes, and he is got a phoenix on the side of, his coffin. He's like,
right.
Indiana, it's like, it's just a phoenix. What's the big deal? Like, that's on those things all the time or whatever. And she's like, a phoenix doesn't have propellers. Yeah. Well, when they went to the past,
he found propellers.
There were propellers on it, but they called it a dragon.
Literally, that's the next thing I was going to talk about.
I was like, they called it a dragon. So I'm like, I don't know if they caught that or it's just like, there's like, no one will, whatever, it's fine. But also, one thing with the coffin is he had a watch on him,
mm-hmm.
which he's like, Indiana's like, I didn't think that whatever something like that would be out.
Watches were invented. Yeah.
Well, it's the bad guy's watch.
Yep.
And the bad guy never even...
Archimedes used it. No, he never used the dial. They brought all that stuff back to him.
The freaking bad guy's right there over the body examining it, and you don't know, hey, that's my watch? I'm like, you're an idiot. You're the biggest doofus in the world. Just like a Nazi, I swear.
Just like a Nazi. But that's the last part I want to talk about is the end. I love the end of this movie. I absolutely love the end of this movie. And that saves a lot of this movie for me.
Him coming back or...
The entire ending as far as going into the past, I thought was really cool. And to me, I was like, okay, we've seen all these movies.
I think that was
with
cool
Indiana
too.
Jones.
That was a highlight.
Loving this archaeology and knowing all this smart stuff about the past and all these... civilizations and empires and talking about it and knowing all this stuff so we can get through all these situations that have to do with all these artifacts and archaeology. And I'm like, it's so cool. And now you're seeing him finally living it. And you saw his like awe and spot, and it was just really cool. And it just
it was felt... cool because it tied back to like his little speech from his class that he was having about Archimedes with these inventions that like we don't really know if they were real, but he did write about them and design whatever. And like so there's no like evidence of them actually being real other than being in illustrations and in writings or whatever. Yeah. And he saw them all.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of them. Like,
and it's just crazy because we've seen a lot of time travel movies, but this was one of the first that I remember seeing like a modern day like aircraft entering like a Roman war, and something about it just it felt really cool. I don't know how to put it, but it felt really cool.
I think it was cool because it was something that's never been done. Like, so it was like it's kind of so preposterous that it's like,
but somehow it fit when you have all the other crazy stuff that's happened for Indiana Jones.
It felt good and different and not like anything else.
And to me, like, I wish we got to see more of it. Like, that was the one thing that I was saying in the non-spoiler, where the premise of this movie, there's stuff that it did with it that I wish we got to see more of. And I wish we got to see more of either him in that time period or going to different parts in the past. Not that the entire movie should be like going like a time heist Avengers, like going to a bunch of parts of the past, but it was really interesting just to see. And like, what if he could actually use his knowledge of that time to kind of snoop around in that time and go do things? And I don't know, I think it'd be really cool.
Yeah. And I think the reason for that is mainly because most of the other Indiana Jones movies, you don't really get to like the climax of what these artifacts are or what these things actually do until the last scene.
Yeah.
Like, that's how it was. Then when they finally opened the Ark of the Covenant,
yeah,
they had all the crazy stuff, and that's the climax of the scene. It's over. At the end of Crystal Skull, they put the skull on the alien body, and then it all went crazy, and then that's the end. And then I think kind of the same for, basically, for not Temple of Doom, but...
Last Crusade.
Like,
he drinks out of it and then dies or whatever.
They find out that there's a guy who's like a...
Yeah. It's like it does one cool thing, and that thing is like the last scene or climax of the movie. But this thing that this artifact in this movie does creates an entire new plot you could explore. So it makes it so much more interesting, and you have more time you could do with it.
Was I mistaken? Because I might have been multitasking near the climax of this movie, but... Did he say Indiana was captured? By the way, I thought he got shot in the heart or something. So I thought they were going to reverse time and save him or something.
Yeah, they shot him way too close to the heart for it not to be the heart.
It's at least in the lung. And
they should have picked the other shoulder for the audience.
They should have shot him in the leg. But what I was thinking was, all right, they go through this whole plot line of Indy's captured. They're on the plane. He's trying to convince them not to do it. He's like, geological shift or whatever, or what was it? Something like
continental drift.
Which I get that, but
shouldn't that change where you're going, not the time you're going to?
I don't know. I'm like, but it didn't even matter.
It's movie.
It didn't even
jumbo.
Matter.
It didn't matter because what they didn't realize was Archimedes made the dial to only specifically go back to that specific time and place.
Yeah, which is
because he said he was calling for help.
Yeah.
He knew this is when the war was, and he goes, "We need help. So we need you to come back and help us during this war because we're going to lose it."
I think
which is interesting.
Dial of Destiny 2, Electric Boogaloo, and they come back with like AKs and ARs and bazookas.
Yeah, I just thought I thought it was hilarious, but in such a cool way because that's how when the people said they have dragons, I laughed. I was like, that's awesome, because people back in that day would be like, what is flying through the sky?
I'd
love that. I don't know, it was so interesting to me. And when you saw the giant spears like trying to take out the plane, was super cool. And that was one of the moments where a sudden death, so like the spear comes up and gets one of the guys in the cockpit, and there's a good bit of blood.
I call BS on that. I don't think they'd be able to hit that thing unless it was just by happenstance.
But when it went through and got the guy, went through the front of the plane and into the cockpit and completely speared the dude. Lots of blood, and it was so fast. I literally went, oh, shit, like while I was watching it. I was like, that was sick. The whole ending was like cool to me, and I feel like they could have done so much more.
I don't know.
And honestly, while we were talking about this movie, I was thinking about, I think I'm going to bring this down to a 6. Because there are more weird things with the plot that I want to bring it down the more and more we talk about it. But the ending, The ending saves it for me, so I think I'll keep it at a 7. But the rest of the movie is really kind of just mid-tier. It's like a 5 for the rest of the movie until the end to me. And the one last thing I'll say about this is at the end when he was like, I want to stay here. I was actually really excited for him to stay.
So was I.
Because I was like, this is a cool way to let the character rest. Like, yes, let him be done right here. Don't.
I'm okay with kind of the, he's lost everything. He's lost his wife. He's lost his son. He's kind of lost his life. Like, even in class, I mean, I know there's always, like, the students don't really care. They don't know the significance and importance of the stuff, like, and appreciate it the way he does. And now he gets to appreciate it. He gets to be where he's always wanted to be. He gets to see all this stuff. He gets to live it. He gets to experience it. He can leave all that old stuff behind.
It was, like, such a bittersweet ending, but I was happy for him because I was like, this is what he wants. Of course, they bring him back and you see Marion again, which got me a little emotional. I was like, that's cool. But then at the end, right before they cut to black, he like snags his fedora.
Yeah.
And I think what they're trying to do is apparently it's confirmed that, as far as we know, this is the last Indiana Jones movie. And he's getting so old, I don't think they will ever make another one. This is the last one. But I think the allure of Indiana Jones is like he'll never put his hat and whip down until the day he dies. So there might not be another movie, but that doesn't mean he'll never pick up another adventure if one comes along. But we don't have to see it.
I think,
and I get that.
I think it would be better. I think this character, unlike a James Bond, obviously they reboot it or they continue it with different actors. I don't really know how that exactly works. I don't want to replace him. I like what it is. It's a good story of him. And Harrison Ford plays it right. I don't want to replace him. I want him to have the legacy of that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't
want I agree. I'm not saying replace him. I'm just saying.
No, I know. I'm saying I don't want to reboot. I don't want to doing that stuff. I think it's a good thing, and I don't think you need to keep making more of these films to, unless it's for the reason of making money, which I guess that's what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I will say that Harrison Ford did say that this is his last movie as Indiana Jones, and that he wanted this to be an emotional ending and just kind of have this come to an end.
I'm sure it was for him.
I think they're just gonna like reboot it in like 10 years.
I'm just saying, like,
30 years later when he's dead, they're just gonna like.
I mean, I'm not gonna, if I was somebody who'd been playing a character for, I don't know how many years, it's 40 years. Yeah, it'd be pretty emotional, but I mean, I'd be glad and happy I did it, and
yeah,
I wouldn't have any regrets about it other than the fact that I wish I got paid more.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, the more I talked about this, I wanted to bring it down to a 6, but the ending is so interesting to me, and I wish they did more with it. I guess I'll leave it at a 7, but it's more like a 6.5 for me.
Okay.
Just because there is so much more they could have done, and there are some key moments in this movie where I'm like, you did dumb stuff. And
my thing is this.
It bothers me.
Video games, right?
Yeah.
So I'm a big fan of Mortal Kombat. I loved it. I had it on the Genesis. I played a bunch of different versions of the game. They're on the 12th version of that game. And it is a continuous storyline.
Yeah.
And they just released the 12th game, which is called... They did the thing where it's like Mortal Kombat 1. But this storyline is so sick and so awesome. And they've retold the story like probably like 3 different times with like separate universes or realities or whatever, things like that. With like one of the characters is part of the main original storyline. They go into all these other things. And that's been around since 90 something, early 90s.
Yeah.
And it is like a cinematic masterpiece because it's basically the entire game is just CGI movie. And then when instead of doing like a big action scene, you just do
the fight.
A fight between two people. Yeah. You know, that's all it is. How can they make something like that and it be like, gosh, this is like a 9.5 or something like that? But when it comes to these movies with like so much more money invested and so much, well, I don't know about more. I don't really know how much it costs to make a video game nowadays. Probably a lot more than I think.
No idea.
But it's crazy how you can see things like that in video games that have like this storyline is absolutely epically amazing.
Yeah.
And movies which have been around for a lot longer with
you also get differently. I feel like you get invested differently in video games though, because you are part of it and you get to play along. So
true.
it's definitely different, but I get what you're saying. I do understand what you're saying. I think because video games, and I could be totally wrong, I'm not trying to discredit video game, like people who actually make video games and produce the storylines and write the storylines of them, but they're allowed to be a little bit more loose because you get to take part and you get to decide certain things about it. You know what I mean? So it has the structure of being able to be more loose. It doesn't have to be as tight because it can still be epic and it doesn't matter because you're playing an epic character and that's part of the fun of it.
Yeah.
I could be wrong. I don't know. Yeah, I do. It's just hard, man, when you're making an action movie about an 80-year-old. I think that's the premise of this.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, when he was 70. It's so weird to say that. When did they make
Crystal Skull? Skull?
Like 12 or 13?
Something like that. And I thought he was old then. But if you go back and look at that now, he looks young compared to this movie.
I know. It's nuts.
It's crazy.
But that's what I'm saying is like, if this movie would just have benefited from being made 10 years ago.
Yeah, I think I agree.
I think this would be one of the better movies if it was.
Yeah,
that.
Dude, that's crazy.
When was it made?
I'm just looking at like pictures and like clips of Crystal Skull, and he looks so much younger. It's crazy. It's crazy. That's, I mean, still, you know, older for sure.
That's pre-Shia LaBeouf craziness?
Yeah, I think right before, yeah.
Man, now we're just running in the woods from Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah, man. It's such a good premise. I just... it's a bummer. But it was a fun watch.
For
$25. I spent $25 to watch this movie.
Not in a movie theater?
Not in a movie theater.
You bought it from some Mexican guy at the flea market?
He said, would you like to see Indiana Jones? And I just said, like that. Yes.
He said... Excuse me, sir.
Excuse,
kind gentleman, would you like to buy this?
Excuse me, sir.
This currently extremely legal, not ripped off or bootlegged Indiana Jones.
I don't know why it's taken so long for it to come on Disney Plus, but
I don't know either. Like,
so I had to
nuts.
Buy it on YouTube for $25.
I acquired it through means. I'm just going to say that. And then I will buy it.
Homeless guy outside of 7-Eleven, huh?
Sloppenheimer.
All right. Well, we're going to brainstorm on what fun, exciting, cool stuff we can do next episode for our 100th.
Hey, guys, and remember,
inaugural episode of
That's
Movies,
Brother. You can always send us questions or comments, and we'll read them live and
absolutely.
About one of us, and we'll talk about it, and we'll read it. And that way you, the listener / now viewer, can be participating in this, you know?
Exactly.
And we want you to be part of this family.
We'll answer some questions on the 100th episode. You can find us on the gram. You can email us at thatsmoviesbrother@gmail.com. And we'll do that. It'll be a good time. And we will have all three hosts here. We're not going to leave Nate out of the 100th. It'll be fun. It'll be a good time.
Yeah, so it may be a week. Or
maybe
two,
a month.
Or a month.
Just depends when we can get Nathaniel's ass over here.
I know. I mean, this guy can take a break from his normal life.
I know, for once in a while, bro. And he's reaping all the benefits from this podcast. All the AdSense that we're getting from it, dude. It's crazy how much we get paid. We just give him a third like it's nothing.
I know. I need to get my second Tesla now.
I know. I mean, we make so much. It's not like a third of it's not like going to kill us, you know, to give it to him. So
yeah, it's all right.
It's crazy. We make so much money. The most money.
I'll take a small loan of $1 million.
We'll see you next time, guys.